Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.
The surprising amount of food that's simply discarded, but there's a solution. And the restaurant that lets you pay what you think the food is worth in the cities. We're talking food, and here's some food for thought. 40% of the food America creates is wasted, often thrown away and filling landfills. Almost 15 years ago, Scott County developed a food rescue partnership, working with restaurants, grocers, and families to cut into the waste that we're seeing. I talked with Christina McDonough of the Food Rescue Partnership. The Food Rescue Partnership is now really marking a little more than 10 years we were talking. How has it changed over the period of more than a decade?
Yeah, so we're really excited. The Food Rescue Partnership has accomplished quite a bit in over those 10 years. So several of the things that I'm really most proud of that stands out to me is the fact that we've been able to complete two comprehensive food system assessments for Scott County. So looking at how much food is going to waste throughout the community, but then also how many farms are in Scott County, how many restaurants are in the county, and using that data to help our approach and making sure that we're reaching out to people in an effective manner. Also love bragging about the fact that the EPA has recognized us three times as award winners. So we're very proud of that recognition at a regional level, but then in 2020, we received a national award from the EPA, which is huge.
Well, and it really started with looking for ways to not add unnecessary waste to the landfill.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's always been the base. And people are more than happy to not even think about that.
Yes. And so, you know, really when you're looking at the landfill data, the EPA estimates that more food is hitting the landfill as far as that municipal solid waste than any other material. And so we've been fortunate enough in the Quad Cities area that the Scott County landfill is selected for one of the Iowa landfill studies. And so just in 2022, when they had their waste characterization short, they found that approximately 19% of loose food was wasted in the landfill, but then also almost 3.5%, just a little over that, was actually still packaged and hitting the landfill.
Not even opened?
Correct. Yeah.
And we're talking what? Just cereal that expired or?
It could be anything. You know, I always think about produce because that turns pretty quickly, right? You can go to the store, examine those strawberries very closely,
the
and then you get home.
Banana's got a color you're not quite sure
and
about.
And it turns. And so I usually think of produce as being one of the guilty, quick things to end up in the landfill because they'll turn. And then once one strawberry or produce item is moldy, the whole batch is no longer safe to consume. And so that can easily be tossed still in the packaging.
Now, when the partnership first started, it really was geared not only to individuals, but to restaurants and grocery stores, just to try to lessen that waste. How has that succeeded over the years?
Yeah, so when we were first starting our outreach efforts on the importance of food waste, we were really interested in educating those professional food establishments. So looking at what the retail food stores, so the grocery stores, were doing in the community, but also the restaurants, because every layer of the food system has some waste that's taking place. And that's a part of that 40% of food in America gets wasted.
Which is an amazing statistic in
itself.
Yeah,
it's alarming, right? Because we're literally throwing away enough food to feed everybody. So our first dive from kind of being Scott County and Rock Island County Health Department involvement was, let's educate those professional food establishments on the fact that there's a federal Good Samaritan Food Donation Act. They can donate their food to a nonprofit hunger relief agency without getting in trouble. And they're protected from any liability concerns that they may have.
Because that was the big thing that a lot of companies, you know, it was scary for them that it could come back, a good deed could come back and bite them.
Absolutely. And I understand the fear, because those professional food establishments spend a lot of time training their staff and making sure that they're handling food safely so that they have that concern. What happens when I turn it over to a volunteer organization? And so we were able to educate them on that Good Samaritan Food Donation Act, but also letting them know that a lot of the volunteers go through similar training as well. While it's not required, they like to have the food safety knowledge just as everybody else.
And now you're really focusing on me.
Yes.
On the person at their home. So let's start there. My refrigerator is stocked, kinda. There's stuff in there that I'm sure is moving. You know, it's been there a while. Tell me a little bit about what you were saying before I should go grocery shopping, what I should be doing.
Yeah, so we have a tip of recommendations on the Food Rescue Partnership website on what an at-home person can do to reduce their food waste. So some very simple things, right? Before you go to the grocery store, check your fridge and inventory your pantry. See what you already have on stock, because you may be surprised when you're going to the grocery store, you're gonna grab something that you know you go through a lot, but you already had a good inventory of it at home. So that's a great way to start with your source reduction, which is one of the first levels in the EPA food wasted scale. The next thing is really, once you've made a meal and you have leftovers, eating those leftovers quickly in that safe time frame, or repurposing them into something new. So Thanksgiving's coming up. We're all excited for the turkey. What are you going to do with all of the turkey leftovers, right? You can make it into sandwiches. You can make it into casserole, a soup. There's ways that you can repurpose the ingredients from one dish and make a brand new dish.
But let's be honest, that is something that grandma, anybody who went through the Depression, you know, I mean, anybody who hit hard times already pretty well knew. It's just getting back to those basics.
It really is. And then also just utilizing the freezer. I think we underutilize the freezer as Americans in general. And it's something that I myself sometimes am guilty of, that I have the best of intentions of eating some of the leftovers at work the next day, but something comes up, or, you know, you get invited to go out to eat with coworkers, and so it's okay to freeze the food, and then you have meals ready to go at a later date as well. Another really popular option that we've been talking quite a bit at our more recent workshops is composting. And so there's a lot of interest in composting. A lot of people sometimes are overwhelmed and afraid of what it looks like to start a compost pile and have it be successful, but it's really not that intimidating once you get down to it. And there's a lot of resources online for starting compost, but then it's a very forgiving system as well. So if
you
don't have something right.
Yeah.
So at home, I vermicompost, which means I have a tote of dirt and worms in the basement, and that's where we put some of our food scraps. And so it's knowing what food scraps are safe, how to keep your levels right of wet to dry. And so when you think about the wet compost, that's the food that you're putting in the compost. So the banana peels, the strawberries that turned to be moldy too quickly. But then you also incorporating newspaper and those other drier items for that compost mix. And so that at-home system, whether it's vermicompost or an outdoor compost, can be very forgiving if you neglect it for a while, or if you don't have your ratios of wet to dry correct. You can correct it very quickly.
In some ways, though, are you kind of preaching to the choir? Because there's a certain sector of our population that, of course, they're going to do that. And then there's a certain sector of the population that says, I'm not going to do that.
Yes, I would definitely say a lot of the workshop attendees, because we host a biannual workshop, and it is on food waste, and we've shifted from, you know, what you could do at the restaurant perspective to the at-home perspective. And it's a lot of people who are very mindful already of their source reduction, but they're maybe looking for a few more tips on what they can do at home. And so what's really helped us is just talking about the social impacts to food waste. So I mentioned that we are throwing away enough food to feed everybody. So that's always a good data connection point to make. But then also the environmental impacts. So when you're simply throwing food out in the trash and it's going to the landfill, that's releasing methane gases into the atmosphere, and that can lead to a variety of things that negatively impact our environment. So a lot of it is really finding what hits home for the person. And sometimes it's something just as simple as you're throwing away money, right? For the economical impact that it has system-wide, but even at home, because an average family of four, depending on what source you're looking at, we're throwing away approximately $1,500 worth of food a year. And that's a lot.
That hits home. Mm-hmm. I know that you're also very active in a proponent of community gardens. Tell me a little bit about your efforts there.
Yeah, so Food Rescue Partnership likes to support the community garden. So we had the Floricente Community Garden at the Food Rescue Workshop, and they were very well received. We had a group of Augie Acres students come in and attend the workshop, so we got to learn more about their efforts on campus. And it is something that when you look at the Floricente Community Garden and what they're doing for that community, they had identified that there was a food desert in that neighborhood. And so they didn't have reliable food source, but they also didn't have culturally relevant foods in their community. And so this community garden really started as a vision for helping food insecurity in that neighborhood. But now, not only is it nourishing the body, it's nourishing the soul. It's a gathering space for the neighborhood to come together and just spend quality time, which is something we all need following the COVID-19 pandemic.
And when it comes to the food rescue and to make sure that you're not throwing things away unnecessarily, tell me a little bit about your website, because you've got a great way. If you want to learn more, you've got great resources there.
Thank you. We really spend a lot of time on our Food Rescue Partnership website. So it's foodrescueqc.org. And honestly, I think right now the best resource is clicking on the 2024 workshop recap, and all of the presenter information with slides about composting, community gardens, even volunteer opportunities are on the website. And so you can get a lot of information there. And then obviously we have our resource guide that's been around for many years now, and we continually update it with new contact information for anybody from, I work at a restaurant and I don't want to see food wasted at work, to I also don't want to waste food at home. And so we try to provide tips for everybody.
Our thanks to Scott County Health Department's Christina McDonough of the Food Rescue Partnership. The Mississippi River has been the source of music for hundreds of years, and it still is. Musician David G. Smith recently joined us to share one of his original songs. So here's David G. Smith with Listen to the River.
My wife is sitting right off camera here. That is an anniversary gift from my wife. And now I like to tell it that we were out looking for sewing machines. It's true. We were looking for sewing machines. But we walked by this music store first. And she saw that guitar sitting in the window, and she said, "What's that?" And 2 hours later, we walked out with it. She bought it for me. Anniversary gift.
A blue jay was a friend of mine. He used to sing to me all the time. There was his reputation, but then again, he used to sing to me and I'd sing to him. Well, I'm down here by the river, I sit beneath a tree. I'm gonna listen to the river
soothing rain. Now it's flooding hurricane. Well, I'm down here by the river, sitting beneath a tree. I'm gonna listen to the river. Mother Earth was a friendly face, with a fertile beauty and a patient ruse. Throw a seed from a burlap sack, you know I gave to her, and she gave back. Well, I'm down here by the river.
I wrote that song, goodness, a long time ago. I don't want to date myself. Many years ago. It's about our environment, kind of some of the things that maybe it was just a prescient moment I had when I wrote it, you know, again, 20, 30 years ago, about what's going on these days. And so it's, you know, to keep it short, it's just, it's about environment, and it's about, I guess, climate change and some of those things.
Well, I'm down here by the river. Sitting beneath the tree, I'm gonna listen to the river. The river gonna talk to me. Well, I'm down here by the river, sitting beneath the tree. I'm gonna listen to the river, but the river won't talk. The river won't talk.
David G. Smith with Listen to the River. When you head to a restaurant, you grab a menu or you look at a screen or sign that tells you just how much that meal will cost. But what if you could pay what you can to get a nutritious meal? That's exactly what's on the menu at the Nest Cafe, and its founder was just awarded Rock Island Citizen of the Year for her efforts. We talked with the founder and president of Nest Cafe, Linda Mann. Nest Cafe's been around for a while now,
yeah.
And what's interesting, it's pay what you can approach.
Uh-huh.
That's unusual. What made you think this is something that's viable?
Yeah, well, I thought about this a long time ago. Like, shouldn't there be places where everyone has access to good food and real food? And so then I started doing some research, and there are restaurants all over the country, all over the world, that have this structure, this pay what you can structure. And so I started visiting them and kind of seeing, ooh, I like this about this one, I like this about this one, and then put it all together, and here we are.
Well, and this really started from some, you know, a humble beginning, so to speak. I mean, you didn't have a structure to begin with.
We did not. So we formed as a nonprofit in late 2019 and thought that we would open in maybe summer of 2020, and then this thing happened in 2020.
Yeah.
So we started doing monthly pop-up meals around the community to kind of provide what people needed. And we did that for 2 years and then finally opened in 2022.
And what you opened is, and I know you want to punctuate this, is a restaurant.
It is a restaurant.
People have to think of it as a restaurant. It's not a food handout place.
Oh gosh, no.
Everybody is welcome, of course, and the food is fantastic.
It's fantastic. Yeah, we have a chef. We have paid staff that works in the kitchen. We also use volunteers, but it is really high quality food, and it's just that it's available to everyone.
Tell me about your chef, because when you look at the menu, it's like, these are really creative, good, and visually attractive and tasty meals.
Yeah. So Chef Laura Harwell, she's been with us since midsummer, so she's still pretty new. She's phenomenal. She's, you know, we threw a lot at her. Like, you have to use what's locally available, and that's a trick. And she has to create a new menu every single day. So she's really creative. She's really just hit the ground running and is doing a phenomenal job.
And the key to the word Nest is nourish everyone sustainably together. Mm-hmm. And you want to underline that as well, because where's this food coming from that is made into these dishes?
Yeah, so we buy
all of our meat from a local farmer, Grateful Graze, in Cambridge, Illinois, because they don't put anything extra in their meat. Their animals are grass-fed. And then we buy as much produce as we can from the Quad Cities Farmers Market in Rock Island in the summer from all of their vendors because they're committed to organic, local-grown produce. We grow a lot of our own produce in our nest garden. That all shifts in the winter where we have to, you know, hit the grocery stores a little bit more, but we do try to buy as much organic food as possible, and we're still able to buy some from some local farmers, and all of our meat still all year long comes from Grateful Graze.
What has been the reception, I mean, among Quad City diners?
It's been phenomenal. Once we get people in, once we get people in, they love it and they come back.
Well, I think it's interesting because you said that today, during the lunch hour, you think what, maybe?
Probably 80% were new people.
New people.
Yeah. Yeah, so we certainly have regulars. We love seeing our regulars. We love getting to know people's names. We like to think of it kind of like Cheers without the alcohol. But yeah, we love having new people. The trick is getting people to understand that we're it's a restaurant. It really is for everyone. Come on in. Come on in. Once you come in, you'll see. It's a great place.
Do you have, what have you learned in the few years that you have been open? Because yeah, you had to create a business model, and you had to have, and restaurants succeed and fail, as you know, left and right.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough airtime for for what I've learned. I've learned a lot. I've learned about the grace of the Quad Cities. I mean, people have really embraced this, so that's wonderful. I've also learned the challenges of this concept. You know, that there are still a lot of people that think like, oh, that's a great thing that you're doing for the community, but they won't come in because they think it's for someone else. And it's not, it's for everyone.
And congratulations are in order, of course, because you were picked one of the Citizens of the Year for
Thank
Rock
you.
Island.
Yeah.
How important is that? That, like you said, the partnerships, the recognition is secondary to you because of the work that you're doing, but that's another thing that you've learned a great deal about it is the partnerships in the Quad Cities.
Yeah, absolutely. We couldn't do what we do without other organizations referring people to us and cheerleading for us, and me learning from other, I've learned so much from other nonprofit directors. And yeah, the way the Quad Cities has gotten behind us has just been really phenomenal.
You are open Tuesdays through Saturdays for the lunch hour.
Yep.
And then Thursday nights are the dinners.
Yep.
Do you really look forward to the Thursday nights? Because, I mean, since it's only once a week, it's a little more creative or a little, it's definitely a different menu.
It's the same menu as Thursday lunch.
Oh, okay.
Yep, same menu as Thursday lunch. We just wanted to have some hours that are outside of working hours. We have a lot more kids that come on Thursday nights.
Oh, okay.
Children always eat free. We have a little kids play area, so we love kind of catering to kids. So, yeah, Thursday nights are a whole different vibe.
That's what I would think.
But... And yes, I'm the person at the register on Thursday nights, so I do look forward to that.
And you're always looking for volunteers?
Always looking for volunteers, especially volunteer servers. All of the people that serve are volunteers, and it's really easy. It's not like servers at a fancy restaurant. It's kind of like Chipotle or something like that. You know, like you're behind a line and you're just asking people what they want on their plate. It's super easy. Come volunteer.
That was Linda Mann, founder and executive director of the Nest Cafe. And once again, it serves lunch Tuesday through Saturday, 11 until 2, and dinners Thursday, 5 until 8, at its location on 4th Avenue in downtown Rock Island. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
At IHM VCU, we've always been here for you. You are and always will be our top priority. We care about your financial health, and we are here. IHM VCU is a proud supporter of WQPT.
The future, that's where our minds are at Western Illinois University Quad Cities. We are innovators, searching for something new outside of the textbooks. Dog-loving, leadership-driven, world-changing. Whether you choose to study on campus or online, your future is designed on your terms. Start your future at wiu.edu/QC.
Public Affairs programming on WQPT is brought to you by the Singh Group at Merrill, serving the wealth management needs of clients in the region for over 35 years.